Today on Real Life Radio.
There's this beautiful gnawing sensation, gut sense, that God's not done with me yet, that he's got more for my life, that I have not yet completed all for that for which I was given life. And this drives the believer. It's a motivator. Lord, what next?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 4. If we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious choice we need to make each and every day. So what does that look like in the life of the believer? It's when we watch, when we listen, and it's when we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us to God's purpose for our lives. You know, the truth is there are constant lessons for us to learn, and in the Holy Spirit we've been given an amazing teacher. The Holy Spirit works in us to make us more like Jesus, peeling away at our sinful nature and replacing it with love, with self-discipline, and with power, even the power to boldly preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit longs to show us the deeper things of God so that we can learn what it really means to be a Christian. So on this part of the message today, Pastor Jack reminds us that we don't have to do Christianity alone. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He will never leave us alone or let us down for that matter. The Holy Spirit drives us, He motivates us, and reveals to us our need for His guidance. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Okay, so listen, grab your Bibles and we will read the same portion of scripture that we did last time together as we were looking at the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And we come now to, I think, is about our fourth study on the Holy Spirit and His working in the life of the believer. And I got to tell you, friends, this is going to be a long part of the Why series because we're going to get into some very, very necessary things regarding the Holy Spirit in your life. What does that mean? What does that look like? And why the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential for you to live your Christian life in power, for you to be fruitful as a believer, and for you to finish literally the, can I put it this way? The job description that God has given you personally. Listen, I mean that sincerely. You're going to hear tonight how God the Holy Spirit has given you, the believer, you, not the person next to you, not the believer in front of you or behind you or wherever you're maybe, you personally, God the Holy Spirit has assigned to you a gift or gifts that are divinely imparted by God the Spirit for the building up of the Christian community around you. And you're going to learn about that. We're going to go through the gifts in future studies, and we're going to define them. We're going to see where they're at in Scripture. We're going to talk about them. And then we're going to pray. We're going to keep praying, and we'll even do this tonight. We're going to pray that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit afresh, come upon you afresh, whatever terminology you want to use, and to begin to stir up within you what gift of the Holy Spirit you have as a believer. And so Acts chapter 19 is where we're at. Acts 19, beginning in verse 1. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. Again, remember that's in Turkey. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It's a fascinating question that he would even ask them. So they said to him, to Paul, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? Notice that Paul's assuming that they knew what it meant to be baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. So they said to him, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is after John, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they had heard this, They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And in this case, anyway, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Verse 7. Now the men were about 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. What a remarkable event. Have you paused long enough to read through those verses? It's pretty amazing because you've got believers, and yet when Paul shows up at Ephesus, he knows that they're believers, but something's lacking in their life. And he knew it. He could tell. He could discern it. And he knew to ask them as believers, what were you baptized into? Were you baptized into the Holy Spirit? And they said, well, we didn't even know if there is even such a thing. What do you mean the Holy Spirit? And so they confess when he questions them, well, we were baptized into the baptism of repentance by John. Remember John's message to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance and be baptized? And Paul said, that was all fine and dandy. That's great. That's where you begin. But I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to baptize you now in the name of Jesus Christ. That is, he put them back again into water. They came up out of the water. And after they dried off, Paul laid his hands on them and prayed for them. And they received, listen, the Holy Spirit's power coming upon them. And the key word is EPI. The word in English is upon. The word in Greek is epi. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon them and truly changed their world. You remember back in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, we said that regarding that John truly baptized with water, Jesus said, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And that was a reference to the Spirit coming upon the believers. And so as we've been marching through this, again, because we're streaming to you live somewhere in the world, you may have missed the previous arguments on the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go through them very quickly. Number one, we looked at this. The Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is, who is the Holy Spirit? We answered that in our previous studies, and you can go online right here at this site, and you can catch up on previous studies. Secondly, we looked at where is the Holy Spirit found in Scripture? And we saw that the Bible says he's God the Holy Spirit, that he was at creation, Genesis chapter 1, that he is one who can be made angry or upset. We learned this from the book of Psalms and the book of Ezekiel. We also learned in the book of Acts that he can be lied to and that you can sin against the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we saw that why is the Holy Spirit necessary in your life? And boy, I tell you, that for me is exciting because it talks about the fact that I don't have to do Christianity. I don't have to do this. I don't have to be a Christian in my own effort. I don't get up in the morning and live my Christian life under my own influence, under my own power. Thank God. I get to live it by his leading, his power. I sure hope you know what I'm talking about. Man, I'm telling you right now, if you don't know, if you just know religion, you're stuck in a groove like I'm going to say this old analogy, forgive me, please, but like a needle on a vinyl record. Well, wait, I guess they're making a comeback now, right? I think young people are buying vinyl again. And when the needle gets stuck in the groove, it just wears and wears and wears a groove in that vinyl record, and it's stuck there. If that's your life, if you feel like, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm stuck there. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that will cause the power to come and be upon you. And his presence in your life is an absolute necessity, which leads to the fourth study that we looked at. And that is, how is the Holy Spirit active in my life? How is he active? Because he wants to be active. And so tonight we pick it up where we left off. Does the Holy Spirit have more for my life? Remember, we answered this last time together. That is an overwhelming yes. Thank God, yes. And remember, I said it this way, and I do mean it. I'm not joking. This is not for emphasis. But if the Holy Spirit didn't have more for my life, and I'm still praying now, asking him, Lord, do you have more for my life? I think I would be overwhelmed with grief. So hear me out. I can confess to you that for the last 43 years, my Christian life has been awesome. Bumps and bruises along the way? Absolutely. Ministry difficulties, hurts and pains? Truly. But he has never let me down. And he has done more in my life than I could have ever written down in a movie script for myself. He has outdone himself. And I can honestly tell you that if I die tonight, I'm impressed and thankful for what God has done in my life. But while I'm still able, I have inside of me what I trust you do as well. And that is there's this beautiful gnawing sensation, gut sense that God's not done with me yet, that he's got more for my life, that I have not yet completed all for that for which I was given life. And this drives the believer. It's a motivator. Lord, what next? What next, Jesus? How do you want to use my body? How do you want to use my mind? How do you want to use my voice, Lord? What's next? What's the next chapter? And so we saw these arguments. Number one, or first, we saw that he will begin to call you into his family. Maybe some of you are not Christians, and you're wondering, why should I become a Christian? Well, for one thing, he begins to stir you up. He begins to stir up your life. And many of us can attest to the fact that he did that when we came to Christ. Number two, we saw that he'll begin to show, listen, yourself to yourself. He will begin and reveal to you your total depravity, that you and I are absolutely in need of his saving grace. Thirdly, last time we saw this, and this is where we left off, by the way, is that he will begin to reveal himself to you. So he'll begin to show you your great need for him, maybe even for salvation. Maybe for those of you who are what is called backslidden Christians, that is, there was a day in your life when you were more excited about Jesus, and now you're no longer excited about him. And you need to, you're prodigal. You need to come back to him. And so that's very important, because you need to get your life together and be used by God for the purpose for which he called you. And part of that move of his is that he reveals who you are to you, and you fall on your knees, as it were, in conviction and say, oh God, bring me back to you. Or some of you are saying, oh God, bring me to you for the first time. Well, this is what happens in the Christian experience, and that is that God begins to reveal himself to you in personal ways. And I'm at a great loss this evening because I have the inability to communicate to you just how God does that. It is infinite. It is personal to you, personal to me. And God can do that any way he so chooses. But whatever he does do, it will always be in line with his scripture. And so let me just kind of methodically go through this and perhaps bore you with the presentation of this, but I don't want to miss the truth. I'm talking about a biblical experiential faith in your life, because that's what's missing in modern day Christianity today. I think it's all due to the fact that many Christians have not experienced anything unusual in their Christianity. Is that what Paul saw in the Ephesian believers? There was no unusual manifestation of their Christian life being dynamic. Their faith experience perhaps lacked. And the presence of the supernatural union between God and man, it's not happening. Does that define you tonight? Is that the kind of believer that you might be right now? Don't you want to change it? I know you want to change it. You say, Jack, I do want to change. I want a radical Christian life. Good. That can only happen by the person of the Holy Spirit. And that can only happen when, listen, God reveals himself to you. For some of you who are out there tonight, you are really hungry and thirsting for God to take total control of your life. I don't have to encourage you to get on your knees and lift up your hands or go find some quiet place and say, oh God, as it were, rend the heavens and come down. God, touch my heart. You feel so knotted up inside in a way. There's an angst about what's going on. You want God, but you don't have all of him. You know that you belong to him, but there's more. And I want you to know exactly how you feel, but I also want you to know that many times there are seasons when God reveals himself. And I have to tell you, the more that you yield yourself to God's purposes, the more you're in that flow, that groove of what he's doing. But many of us tonight, I pray, might be lamenting the fact that there is no unusual experience going on in your life. God wants you to experience him. And by the way, listen, everybody, when theologians and pastors hear another pastor use this terminology, they get all bent out of shape. When I say I want you to experience God, there's going to be letters and emails that come in and say, how terrible, you're encouraging people to look for goosebumps and to look for, auras and no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I said earlier, a biblically based experiential faith. Don't tell me for a moment that God is God and that the snow-covered mountains here locally and the green hills and the blue ocean behind my back is something that should not cause me to think that my God ought to be experienced. When you stand out in the sunshine or you feel the wind blow or you hear the birds, listen, I don't experience that stuff and say, oh, I worship these birds. I worship those mountains. I worship that ocean. Of course not. I see that and I go, God, you're amazing. God, you're awesome. In all of your ways, you're righteous and you're good and you're just. And Father, I just praise you. And listen, when you do that, when you look around, no matter what kind of situation you're in, you'd start doing that and you start seeing God's fingerprints on things. And you'll wind up experiencing your heart being buoyant, lifted up above the fog, as it were. It's remarkable. Our modern day 21st century Christianity, by and large, I wouldn't want anything to do with it because most of it is powerless. It's either so embarrassingly out of control when you talk about the Holy Spirit and experiencing him that people have gone bonkers and do and promote all kinds of non-biblical things. And they say, oh, the Spirit of God made me do that. The Holy Spirit, he's not out of control. He's a perfect gentleman. Or the pendulum, of course, is where most people are at today, is that there is no activity whatsoever. We need to be very careful about that because God is not in the craziness, neither is God in the tragic anemia of the church today, much in the world. And I pray that even this plague that is sweeping the globe causes Christians and churches to wake up. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, that we are to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Man, did you hear that? Hebrews 12, 14 says, no one's going to heaven who doesn't have the peace of God active in their life and they fellowship with other people. Listen, they pursue peace with others. Oh, and by the way, you're not going to go to heaven if you don't have holiness operating in your life. And when I mention the word holiness, that causes some people to cringe. But holiness is what we determine to do with our lives for God's glory. That's holiness. Because we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, check this out. Because we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, when we come to him in repentance, Lord, I've sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I want to be your child. I want to follow you, God. I determine now, Lord, to believe your gospel that you died and rose again from the dead, and I'm giving you my life. When that happens, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. But the moment you get up to go tell somebody that news, you ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, come upon me for power. And when he comes upon you for power, by the way, you're not going to get electrocuted. You're not going to feel little ripples of something going up and down your spine. You're not going to see gold dust sprinkling down from the atmosphere. nope, it's all by faith. You're going to step out and you are going to be a Christian at work, at home. You're going to share Christ with people all around the world right now who need hope. And you know what? You're going to need his power. And when he does his power, you step, the power comes. And God will use you. And when that happens, that's holiness in action. The word holiness is for you and I to be set aside to be used by God for his purposes. Holiness. That camera I'm talking to has been dedicated. It is holy to this cause and purpose. This podium, my Bible, each of these things are wholly devoted and dedicated. And God is saying to you, I want you to be wholly dedicated to my purpose and my cause. And as believers, we say, yes, I want to do that. Yes, Lord. But I don't have the power. And he'll tell you, I'll take care of that. Jeremiah 29, you know, listen, I quote this verse a lot. People, I can tell you right now, people that attend this church, they're already rolling their eyes. They're like, oh no, here it goes again. That verse, Jeremiah 29, 11. Okay, I'm going to give you 29, 11, but I'm going to give you also 12, 13, and 14, okay? Watch how this works. God says to you tonight, today, wherever you're at, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. This is God speaking. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your hearts. Don't tell me that's not biblically based experiential faith. Verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. Think of that. And I just added this. And from your COVID-19 or this coronavirus 19 imprisonment. God's, listen, God's not done with you. He's not done with you. He knows exactly what he wants to do, and he will reveal himself. Here's the big question. Do we want God to reveal himself to us? Do we have that drive, that hunger? Here's some examples of a biblically based experiential faith. Are you ready? Write these down, church. These are so important. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. Ezekiel 2, 1. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Verse 2. Then the Holy Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speak to me. Verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel. That's Ezekiel 2, verses 1 to 3. Powerful. Powerful.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 4. Thanks for being with us today. The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and brings to light a process where we can logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, the Holy Spirit reminds us that He is our strength and He is our source. But there's also strength in numbers, especially when it comes to the body of Christ. So, why don't you join the thousands who are following Pastor Jack on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram? You can be a part of what's happening with continuing updates, posts, messages, Bible studies, and so much more. Be sure to comment and hit that like button as long as you're there. We've made that real easy for you to do. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and access Pastor Jack on social media. That's jackhibbs.com, or you can find social media access when you download the Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.